You are just so good, and I pray that we would find joy in this place today. Lord, thank you for what you're doing, that we get to come be a part of it, witness what's going on here. Jesus, in your name, amen. Good morning. So I am incredibly excited for this morning, and as you've probably already noticed, it's going to look a little bit different. Today we're doing a youth service, and do we have, there is the slides, look at that. So youth qualifying under our Ignite ministry, our Grade 5-6 ministry, our Fuse Youth ministry, and our Sturgeon Alliance Young Adults, which doesn't have a cool matching logo yet, but to come. So we had our whole band up here was led by Greg. Dion, who's one of our young adult leaders and was all students and young adults. All of our ushers and greeters this morning were students. And then Stephen Mullins killed it up here, one of our young adults leaders as well, with announcements. In a few minutes, the service will continue to look different. And I'm going to ask a junior high, a senior high, and a young adult to come up. And we're going to hear from them a little bit in a moment. But we're going to get to that. So, how many of you have seen, like by show of hands, or know of, this newest Spider-Man live-action movie? All right, just my youth and young adults. Yeah, right on. okay, that's fair though, because Spider-Man, he's tough to keep track of. He gets rebooted like every 5 years, and it's ridiculous. There's been like 28 Spider-Men in the past decade. No, not really. But this one here, he's part of this, oh my gosh, this slide, there we go. This one here, he's part of the bigger, this Marvel Avengers world and wants to be an Avenger. So desperately that he sends these calls and these text messages to Iron Man, Tony Stark, who you see flying in the poster there. And they're met with just him ignoring him. Him pushing him to the side and just not really acknowledging him. And then Spider-Man, Peter Parker, he goes out, he tries to help, he tries to save the day and take down this big bad guy, and he causes a lot of damage and chaos. And he's met now with pushback from Iron Man, from Tony Stark here, who's just getting angry at him because he's just a kid. He's not an Avenger, he doesn't have a role in any of this and just needs to stand back and let the adults work. If he did that, then we wouldn't have a Spider-Man movie. So he, of course, doesn't do that. He goes, he fights this big bad guy, ends up stopping him, saving the day. Yeah? Well, spoiler, yeah. It's a Spider-Man movie, the good guy wins. Do you think that we ever see our students, our youth, and our young adults like this in the church? Yeah, they can help move some chairs and set some stuff up. But as far as deeper spiritual work, as far as discipleship, we need to leave that to the adults. They're just kids. Well, Tony Stark, he realizes that he was wrong and that this kid has an incredible gift, a heart to serve. He wants to be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And so he seeks then to equip him, to train him, as well as to set him up with a new suit, the best of the best, so that he can be equipped to do his job well, to be an Avenger. Are we equipping our students well so that they can be part of our church, a part of the greater church body, to serve Jesus? Are we equipping them well in that? Do we even recognize that our youth and our young adults are indeed part of the church? And by this, I mean that they are part of the body of the church today and now. I think too often we see our youth and our young adults, and we're like, yeah, you guys are the church of the future. You're the church of tomorrow. And that's totally true. They will be the church of the future, the church of tomorrow. But the church, they're the church of today as well. In Ephesians 4, Paul says this. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit. One body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. When Paul says there's one body, he's talking about the church. This one body of Christ. That's the church, the one body of Christ. There isn't a separate body of Christ for our youth. There isn't a separate body of Christ for our young adults, for our children, for our families, for our seniors, for our empty nesters. We have ministries that meet those needs and apply to those things, and they're great, maybe necessary. And God's working in them in powerful, incredible ways. But we are still one church, one body together. Our students, our young adults, they're not just kids that need to be pushed aside and said, well, not yet, because you're just a kid. They're part of the church today. And that was the reality for the whole of Scripture. For both the Old and New Testament, we see that. David, King David, when he was just a young teenager, this prophet named Samuel came to him and said, hey, you're going to be king, and anointed him to be king as a young teenager. Then he went off to kill Goliath as a teenager again, killed this giant. And Samuel, this same prophet, he heard the voice of God so clearly when he was just a boy. You guys know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They get thrown into the furnace for not worshiping idols, essentially. It's believed that they were between the ages of 10 and 30, so that's a pretty big age gap, but the youth to young adult age range. They had faith in God to only worship him in their youth and young adult state. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, would have been like 12, 13, 14 when the angel first appeared to tell her that she'd become pregnant with Jesus. And then she became pregnant at this young age. God is never changing. Scripture tells us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This isn't some new revolutionary idea that our students are part of the church. They are. God has always used people of all ages. And we're living in a time now even where this has been prophesied. In Joel 2, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. No, this is Ephesians. In Joel 2, it says, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will pour out my spirit on all people. And the Spirit of God has been poured out. That's happened. We can accept that. We can take that. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're united by the Spirit. That's what it talks about in Ephesians 4 here. It's an exciting, exciting thing. And there's no age restriction on that. And so now I'm going to call up Gareth Kozak and Sarah Breeden and Leah Foster. They're going to grab those chairs there. They're going to come up. And I'm excited. They're going to share about their one word. And if you remember back in January, we did our One Vision series, and that was close. And if you decided to participate, do you want to move that? You wrote down a one word, or a one prayer, a one servant, a one word. And our one word was a passage that we asked God to lay on our hearts that would be the foundation, our rock. To build a rock of Scripture to build upon this year. And so again, each of them is going to share a little bit about that, as well as talk about what it means for them to be a part of the church. So before that, I'm going to introduce each of them a little bit. I have a mic here. So this is Gareth. Everyone say hi, Gareth, at the end here. Gareth has been doing a little bit of double duty even this morning of craziness. He was at the back, and media shout wasn't working. And Ian's back there now. Good work, Ian. And, Gareth's one of our young adult leaders. That's Sarah Breeden here, who has, everyone say hi, Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Sarah has just an amazing heart for for Jesus and for people in general, and it's just so cool to see, and she'll share a little bit about that. And she is one of our leaders in training, and helps out with pretty much everything around here. So thanks, Sarah. And this is Leah. Everyone say hi, Leah.
Hi, Leah.
And Leah gets a little bit of a special introduction. So at youth on Friday nights, every other week, hey, we do like an upfront game. So we do a big game all together, then we do an upfront game. So some of those, usually it's involving eating. One was just like a raw onion one time. It was disgusting. Leah didn't do that. She chickened out of that one. But that's okay. What she did do, though, was perform one of the greatest rap songs of all time. It's called The Cat in the Hat. And Leah's going to give you a little taste now. Here, you can stand up if you want, Leah.
Stand up.
All right. Ian, drop that beat.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now. Oh, wait. Okay, hold on. The sun did not shine. It was too wet to play. So we sat in the house all the cold, cold, wet day. Yeah. I sat there with Sally, I sat there with two, and said, how I wish we had something to do.
Wow, powerful, powerful stuff. Thanks, Leah. That, just a taste. If you want to see the whole video, it's somewhere. It's wild. So, Leah, we're actually going to start off with you. So we're going to go down the row. You open your paper first, that's fine. So my first question for you guys, get back past face fake Joel 2 there. What did you choose for your one word, and why that verse?
I chose 1 John 5:18. We know that those who have become a part of God's family do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot get his hands on them. And I chose this because when I am sad or starting to turn away from God, I know that Satan cannot touch me if I believe in God and I trust in him.
Nice. That's awesome. Sarah, do you want to answer that same question?
So my verse was Matthew 7:25-27. And it says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in the barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And the reason I chose this verse was I have a huge problem with just worrying about every little thing. Don't laugh. And it's not a good thing. But this passage really spoke to me in the fact that I just need to let things go. I just need to breathe and focus on what I need to do right now instead of worrying about what could happen in the future. And that verse really helped me see that.
I can only laugh because I'm the same. So I chose James 1:17-21, which is, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So I chose this for multiple reasons. One, it serves as a few reminders for me. First, to be grateful and thankful for all I have. As it says, all perfect gifts are from the Father. And so it helps me to remind, it reminds me that all I have is from God, and that it's not what I do, but it's only from God that I have been blessed so much, and that I need to be thankful for I have, for what I have, and I can't just be greedy with it. And that another reminder is that God doesn't change, that throughout all time, he's still the same God. He's still, his justice and his love never change. Despite what we do, he still loves us. And that unlike Satan in this world, Satan loves to change his form, which is why I really have been enjoying Pastor Brent's sermons with the elephant in the room, because it just shows how Satan throughout the years has changed his tactics on the way he attacks us. And for personal reasons, for moral issues, all the dumb stuff we do as humans, all the lust and whatnot, we need to actually like stop. Like, it's not good. Yeah, and that this is essentially what can save you, because all this is true, and yeah, it's just really good for you.
Awesome, thanks, Gareth. Here, why don't we pass it back to Gareth, actually, and Gareth, starting with you in this second question of, how have you seen Jesus working in your life since choosing this one word in relation to this verse?
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure we can all agree there are some very dumb people out there in the world. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Anyways, this verse has really helped me, especially with like the slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. Mainly, I work with like a lot of dumb people, and so I will be honest, like before, I hated a lot of people that I worked with, but with this verse and just like stopping and listening to what they have to say, and then stopping and listening to see and hear what God has to say about them, has really changed my perspective on how God views everyone. Like, everyone's different, everyone's got their flaws, including me. But he loves us all equally. So why can't I love everyone equally? So that's the main reason.
It's awesome. Sarah, what about for yourself?
Well, when we had the 2 weeks to pray and think on what verse we were to choose for our one word, I kind of wanted to choose a different one. But this Matthew 7:25-27 just kept popping up in my mind, and it wouldn't go away. And since then, I've been working on just letting things go, and I'm starting to see a change on how I view things, like a change in perspective. Certain problems that I may have worried a ton about, and they don't worry me as much anymore. So I'm really seeing some changes.
Yeah, it's new perspective.
New perspective, yeah.
It's cool. And Leah, what about for yourself?
Well, sometimes I think if I will still have my parents in heaven, but my parents got me to understand that God gave me to my mom and dad as a gift, and then believing God makes me a part of his family. Mm.
So that's the same, like Sarah said, like a change of perspective too, right? A new way of looking at it where there doesn't need to be that fear. That's cool. All right, if you want to pass the mic to Sarah, we'll start with you for this next question. So Sarah, for you as a youth, grade 11 here, what does it mean for you to be a part of the church?
Being in youth, a lot of us serve in a lot of places. So children's ministries like nursery and kid camp in August. And I'm also a leader in training, as Josh has told you. I help out a lot in the church, just in a lot of ministries. But being a part of the church can also be a struggle, because youth are often pushed aside. We are viewed as help and nothing more. Mm-hmm. We aren't kids anymore, so we aren't adorable looking at all.
Good.
Except for Gareth, yes. But we aren't adults either, so we're kind of in this weird in-between stage, and there's definitely a sense of separation between us.
Awesome. Leah, what about for yourself? What does it mean for you in grade seven to be a part of the church?
Well, being a part of the children's ministry, like helping out in G-Force and in the nursery, and bringing friends to youth group to share the love of God.
Nice. So for both of you serving and for you, Leah, that extra, bringing people into that. That's cool. That's exciting. All right, and Gareth, what about for yourself? What does it mean for you to be a part of the church?
Okay, well, to start, like you said earlier, young adults is kind of a new concept to a lot of us in this church. So oftentimes, I've experienced it, and I'm pretty sure some of you guys have experienced it, where people view us not as adults, but not as kids. We're in like that awkward in-between stage. And so a lot of it is trying to overcome those problems where people are viewing us not old enough to help, when in reality a lot of us are. And a lot of us have been gifted in amazing ways to help, which would be beneficial. So for me, personally, to be a part of the church is serving. So like I was on Media Shout today as well. I got double booked by accident. But so if I can do this and do Media Shout, everyone can serve. I mean, it's just a couple hours. Yeah. Mom especially needs some help with the kids ministry. There you go. So if you've got time to spare, talk to Kelly. And it's not just kids. I mean, we've got sound as well. And just service projects like the painting of the church that's happening next week, this week. Yeah. We still need helpers for that. And then also being like an active member of the church. That would look more like talking with other adults and not just our friend groups, and being welcoming to others and new faces, especially to the church. If we are called to be the next generation or like the next church, so to speak, then we can't just be like off to the side somewhere and hiding. Like we actually need to be out there and communicating with others. Holding others accountable. I mean, we're at the age now that we are adults, which means we can also hold other adults accountable, which is what we need to do as well. And not just other adults, like kids as well. I mean, we're at the stage now where we know better, and we've known better for a long time, so we actually need to start doing what's right and not just, like, letting it go, because that's not okay.
Awesome. Thanks, Gareth. All right, Leah, we'll swing around to you again. So what does discipleship currently look like in your life?
Well, to me, it means like following God no matter what. Like, yeah, and like some people in my life that help me follow God, like my mom and dad because they take me to church, Kara and Cindy because we have Wednesday night small groups, and Pastor Josh definitely because of Friday night's youth group.
Cool. That's awesome. Sarah, what about for yourself?
Well, discipleship for me first starts at home with my mom and dad. And then it's reinforced in church and small groups on Wednesdays. But my small groups are probably where it happens the most because there's that sense of intimacy and closeness between your leaders and just everyone a part of that group. But discipling, for me, is building relationships with people. So discipleship doesn't only have a set time on a Sunday morning or when you have group. It's just doing life together. You don't have to, like, okay, this is discipleship time, and this is life time. It's the same thing. So, yeah, just do life together.
For me, discipleship looks similar. So like small groups and building those relationships. But it's also, for me, viewing others in the church. I don't necessarily have to physically talk with you, but just the way you act and the way you behave yourself does play a major role in how a lot of us kids actually develop. There's the saying, monkey see, monkey do. It's very prevalent. But yeah, just seeing how people react and how people act towards certain issues, and then modeling myself either after that or away from that. And then Bible studies are a great way for discipleships to happen, because you get to have a collective input of peers and also younger people that show up, which can also be really good.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, guys. Let's give them a round of applause. You can head down. I'm going to awkwardly transition and grab my other table now. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to get you to grab your Bibles. And you can, oh, wow, Shay, thank you. You can open up to, grab a Bible. If you don't have one, there's some on the ground. You're going to open up to Titus chapter 2. Titus 2. We're going to look at verse 4, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. And thank you so much again to you three for sharing some of that. In conversation with all three of these individuals in the past couple of weeks, it's just been so encouraging for myself to see how, we'll come back to that, to see how Jesus is working in each one of their lives. Our students, our young adults, they're part of the church and they're serving in real and tangible ways. And maybe there's, you know, a bit of showness in it to having primarily our youth serving today for our youth service. But each one that's serving today in some capacity, and many more of our youth and young adults, do serve on a regular basis. Think about even for our children's ministry, actually, that Gareth was alluding to talk to Kelly about. Not including our teachers, we had 21 workers. And 11 of those workers are youth and young adults, which is awesome. It's great. It's just so, so encouraging. And Jesus is moving in all of our youth, all of our young adults in just powerful, powerful ways. Not just these three that were up here. So Pastor Brent, in his past couple of loops that he sent out, has mentioned that as a staff and as an elders board, we completed a SWOT analysis, so strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And one of the strengths that came up, at least in our staff doing it, is that our church is pretty intergenerational. And you can look around and see that to be true. There's a good variety of ages, generations represented here. That's a reality. But in continuing to think about this for myself, I realize there's an opportunity in this. That we're not super well connected intergenerationally. And this is probably a problem if we're to recognize that we're all in the same body of Christ and we're in our clusters, right? And again, this is not inherently a bad thing. I know this is the reality for myself, too, as a young adult. I do genuinely love spending time with other young adults. Though I think it can be dangerous for the greater body if that's all my connectedness, all my relationships, and same for each one of you, was just in those clusters of your age groups, your stages of life, if you stuck within that. So why is that? I think Paul gives pretty clear direction to how the older should come alongside the younger here in Titus 2. So I want to, again, look to that, Titus 2, 4-8. And it says, "These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teachings can't be criticized. Then those who oppose you will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us." Now, there is wonderful direction here for how older women are to disciple younger women and how older men are to disciple younger men. It's clear. This is how you do it. But do you notice something about pretty much all the direction here? It's not just words. It's not just saying something. It's not just having a conversation with them. For this stuff, for training younger women to love their husbands, You can talk about it, and that can be good, but it's exemplifying these things. And yeah, both Sarah and Gareth alluded to that as well. There's an example that needs to be set. And I want to do something a little bit maybe radical and simplify this. Yeah, is that okay? So first, I want to jump back. When I listed all these young people in Scripture that did great works for God, there's 11 of them that I didn't mention. There's more than 11 I didn't mention, but 11 specific ones I didn't mention. And those were 11 Jesus' first disciples. There was 12, but one of them didn't do great things. 11 of them. So historians figure the oldest was Peter in his mid to late 20s. So again, in this young adult stage. This is the guy who Jesus said that he would be the rock and he would build his church upon. The same guy who denied Christ 3 times and Jesus forgave him and told him he loves him. The guy that walked on water with Jesus, who healed many, who kick-started the church at Pentecost, preaching a sermon when he was filled with the Holy Spirit that brought the church to 3,000 in one instance. One instant. That's Peter, a young adult. And on the opposite side, on the suggested youngest of the group, was John, who was probably in his early teens, one who was just so desired to be loved by Christ, to sit at his right hand. He wrote 5 of the books in the New Testament that we find in the Bible. And that was later in his life, but these guys, along with the 9 others, Jesus called them at their youth and young adult stages of life. So now again, back to simplifying this direction of discipleship that Paul gives in Titus 2. Last week, as we wrapped up our Elephant in the Room series, Brent laid out 4 ways we're to view Christ. Christ as our Savior, our Lord, our example, and our coming King. So I want to focus on this Christ as example. And you can flip over to Mark 1 in your Bibles if you have a minute. Mark 1, 16, we're going to look at it. It's going to be on the screen here too. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Peter and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fish for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men. If Christ is our example, then let's start at this discipleship stuff that we're talking about, this what Paul is talking about in Titus. Let's start that like Christ did. He goes and seeks out his disciples. He says, hey, come and follow me. And this isn't just for our youth. This isn't just for our young adults. This is for anyone who is you know, literally younger than you in their faith, in this walk with Jesus. Say to them, hey, come and follow me as I follow Jesus. They're not really following you, though. They're following Christ and the example that you are laying out of Christ in your whole life. Follow me as I follow Jesus. All right, we're going to do something now. I need all of our grade 5, if you're in grade 5 to like young adult age, I need you to stand up right now. Like young adult age being like 24. Yep, stand up. There's yep. These are youth, our young adults. This is them. Good start. Just go and say hi to them. They're yeah. Having a conversation with them, it can be easy. For our students, great topic of conversation. Spring break. How was your spring break? Don't ask them about school, because that's tomorrow. They just finished spring break. How was your spring break? For our young adults, less easy and mostly stressful, but they get it all the time. What are you doing with your future? They love being asked that question. They're not scary. They're not going to bite. They are powerful in God's eyes and have the Spirit living in them. And I truly love each one of them. Thank you. Corey was here last week and described, she's a grade six teacher, described her grade sixers as her people. These are my people. And they're awesome. So you guys can grab a seat now. Can I encourage you with one last thought? This discipleship journey, we have some incredible, incredible leaders in our Ignite and our Fuse ministries that love our students so much and do this exact thing. They say, hey, follow me as I follow Jesus. They might not actually say these words, though, but it's being communicated. And it doesn't just happen on our Friday nights or at our small groups. It can't, because for some of our students, that's 2 hours a week. That's not a lot of time. If they don't show up on Friday night and they only come every other week, that's 4 hours a month. That's not a lot of time. But like Sarah already spoke to, it's about doing life together. And a phrase that Pastor Brent uses when we're in conversation, it's just so true that ministry, that discipleship even, happens in the cracks, in the conversations on Sunday mornings, at the barbecues. For our youth leaders, it's taking our students out to go run errands. Like, it's just simple. Playing games with them, hanging out with them on Friday night. It's doing life together. And I know for myself that I wouldn't be where I am if, you know, God placed these people in my life, but these people that came alongside me and did the same thing. The same thing. They came alongside and said, hey, follow me as I follow Jesus. They probably never said those words to me, but they exemplified it through their actions, through their lives, through saying, hey, let's go. Let's hang out. Having those continual conversations, being present in my life. I'm going to call the worship team up now. And a quote from Francis Chan, and I couldn't for the life of me find the exact quote, so it's a paraphrase. But he says, in North America, you know, we're pretty good at the conviction part between our messages and between you guys kind of feeling like this conviction and stirring of your heart of like, oh, I should do something. He says, we're pretty good at that part, but we're not so good at just going and doing it. In Mark 1, it says they left their nets at once and followed him. He called them and they followed. So start it off. Just do it. It doesn't have to be some meticulously planned out thing that has to fit perfectly in our life. And I know it's not easy because we're busy. But it's about giving up more of ourselves to take on more of Jesus and to continue to be an example of him. Engage with our students. Engage with our young adults. Let's just tear down this feeling of separation. We're one church. We're one body. All united in the Spirit. Let's follow Jesus together. You know who in your mind you're already thinking, like, whether you do this or not, but to say, hey, follow me as I follow Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the powerful work that you are doing in our students' lives. Lord, I pray for each one here that we would follow you ultimately, Lord. And Lord, you would lay on each one of our hearts who were to say to, hey, come and follow me as I follow Jesus. We want to be multipliers, Lord. of you. We want to be disciple makers. Jesus, you are good. We thank you for all these things. Pray you bless the rest of this day. In your holy name, amen.